This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in Galatians with Paul opposes Peter, crucified with Christ. Abraham believed God. The difference between the law and the gospel, and priority of the promise. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
It's a puzzling situation that Jesus creates here. First, he travels into Samaria, and then he stops at a well, knowing full well that he's going to find there a Samaritan woman. She's puzzled because she doesn't understand why he, a Jew, is asking her, a Samaritan, for a drink of water. The disciples are puzzled when they return. The woman is again puzzled as to who Jesus actually might be, supposing him to be a mere prophet. And then, of course, the people of the town, after they have seen and heard what Jesus has done, they, rather than being puzzled, believe. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
No, thank you.
Why was Jesus passing through Samaria?
Well, Jesus had learned, according to chapter 4 of John, verse 1, that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John the Baptizer had. Now, the text is very clear that Jesus himself did not baptize anyone, but only his disciples. But the Pharisees were really angry at John the Baptizer for his message of a baptism of repentance. And so Jesus seemed to be continuing what made them angry about John the Baptizer. So he left Judea. This is a very important point. Jesus knew that he was going to die, but the timing was not yet ready. So he took steps to make sure they did not kill him ahead of time, left Judea, and departed again for Galilee. But on the way, he had to pass through Samaria. And so he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, S-Y-C-H-A-R. And it was near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus stopped at the well while his disciples went into town to buy food.
What does it tell us about Jesus' humanity when it says that he was weary?
Yes, it says Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. And it was about the sixth hour, which is around noon. Now, God, in and of himself, does not get weary. But we remember that for Jesus to die on the cross, he had to become incarnated, which meant he took on human flesh. He therefore had a human understanding, and also he would get weary, he would get tired. And unlike God, who never did, he also went all the way to die. And this was all for one purpose, so that your sins would be forgiven, which That's what Jesus did. So being weary shows his humanity. As a human being, he had those weaknesses about being weary and tired. And that's the reason for that.
What does it mean for Jesus to ask a Samaritan and a woman for a drink?
Well, first of all, women were held in low regard in Jesus' day. Not by Jesus, but even at times by the disciples. There was a woman who was asking for help, and the disciples told Jesus to kind of, well, just help her and let's get rid of her. But a Samaritan woman was even more unusual because the Samaritans and the Jews did not get along. So for Jesus to talk to a Samaritan woman and bring her to faith as he did shows another point that Jesus was doing in his mission. He was there for the whole world, both Jew and Gentile. In the congregations that I have served recently, there were very few, if any, Jews. Everybody was a Gentile, but they were all believers in Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so that's why, even though she was a woman, even though she was a Samaritan, Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink."
Jesus told the woman, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." What does that mean?
Jesus is not referring to the water that came from the well, but he's talking about his own message. He is telling her that he is going to give her water that will allow her to live eternally. And that water, of course, is his message. It can come through baptism, or it can come through hearing the word of God. And here's an example from the Old Testament where a person is going to be brought to faith apart from baptism, but not apart from the word of God. And so Jesus is saying, if you knew the gift of God, now that would be a gift to her. And give me a drink, and he would have given you living water, which meant a water that would never be exhausted and that would lead to eternal life.
Why did Jesus tell her to go and call her husband?
Well, in Jesus' view, the husband is the head of the household, and therefore, that would be one reason. But Jesus knew that at that time she did not have a husband. So he was beginning to question her in such a way to show his omniscience. Yes, even though a human being, he still was God. And so at times, he knew things that maybe had been told him by the Father or by his own mind. But at any rate, he tells her, "Well, you want this water?" And she says, yes, she did. "So go call your husband and come here. Bring the person who is head of the household," even though he knew that at that time she did not have a husband.
How did the woman respond then when he told her that he knew all about her past?
Well, what he told her, he agreed with her, "You are right in saying I had no husband. In fact, you have had 5 husbands, and the one now that you have is not your husband." So she was living with 6 men at least. 5 of them her husband, and this last one was not her husband. And the woman, when she heard that, because she had had no other contact with Jesus, she says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And that's how she responded to Jesus talking to her about her 6 men.
What did Jesus mean when he said salvation is from the Jews?
If you take a look at it historically, you will see that salvation came through the Jews. That was a message to Abraham, although he wasn't at that time Jewish, but Hebrew, and finally through Judah, and the message in Jerusalem was a message of Judaism, namely of the Jews. And therefore, he is saying to her that we will give you eternal life if you believe what we know, because salvation is from the Jews, and therefore they have the message of being saved. Now, it's interesting, many of the people who were Jewish in Jesus' day rejected him. There were only a few who understood the message properly, like Mary and Joseph, and of course, those in the temple, namely Anna and Zacharias. They knew who Jesus was. And Jesus says, "The hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him." So Jesus is giving her an answer that even though she is a Samaritan, a Gentile, she too will be worshiping the Father in truth, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus with the Samaritan woman at the well. We'll find out how his disciples respond after this.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue on in Galatians with Paul opposes Peter, crucified with Christ. Abraham believed God. The difference between the law and the gospel, and priority of the promise. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Hello, this is Roy Askins, editor of the Lutheran Witness. One of our goals is to help you, as I say all the time, interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective, and that includes interpreting our contemporary culture and the major writings that have informed it. If you haven't already, you need to check out the Lutheran Witness website and see our series on literary reflections, where we have commented on works such as Huckleberry Finn, To Kill a Mockingbird, the writings of Jane Austen, and more. Visit witness.lcms.org/series to read the whole thing. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Memoria Press's award-winning curriculum is used by homeschoolers all over the world. Their classical Christian education materials provide everything you need for kindergarten through 12th grade, including books, guides, lesson plans, and instructional videos. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Here's what Martin Luther says about the pastoral office. My pastor is practicing the virtue that increases God's kingdom, fills heaven with saints, plunders hell, robs the devil, wards off death, represses sin, preserves peace and unity, and plants all kinds of virtue in the people. In a word, he is making a new world. He builds not a poor temporary house, but an eternal and beautiful paradise in which God himself is glad to dwell. We are calling good men to step up. Come to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. The Enduring Faith curriculum from Concordia Publishing House summarizes this particular Sunday school lesson in a very simple way. Christ, the Word of God, gives us the gift of living water, the Holy Spirit. You can find out more about the Enduring Faith Sunday school curriculum by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Visit them on the web, cph.org, cph.org. Ask about enduring faith. Tom, how did the disciples respond when they find Jesus talking with the woman?
Well, they were really concerned. They marveled that he was talking to a woman. But nobody asked him, what are you seeking? Or why are you talking with her? So they were kind of silenced because they had a lot of respect for Jesus, but they did not want to criticize him. Now, there is one point we need to look at when the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, the one called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Now, it's very interesting in the original language that Jesus uses the words, I am, because that is not only acknowledging that he is the Messiah, but by using the words I am, he's using the name the Lord used for himself in the Old Testament. That's found in Exodus, Moses at the burning bush. I am who I am. In other words, I like translating it, I fulfill what I promise. And that's why he's the Messiah, because his promises are always being kept. And so the woman went back to the village and told them about Jesus. Now, there's a very, very important point that we need to see here that a lot of people could miss. John just didn't say that she came at the sixth hour to give us a time reference. No, that was the hottest part of the day, and nobody went to draw water in the heat of the day. But she did, because she had the reputation of living with men who were not her husband. She was failing even to keep the moral laws of the Samaritans. People looked down on her. Now, what I find interesting, when she tells them about Jesus, they themselves come to faith. Later on, when they meet with Jesus, they hear his words and they say, you know, we heard you speaking to us, to the woman, and we believed. But now we believe what he says because of his word. This is very important to understand, that any Sunday school person, regardless of the level of their sinful life, can preach or teach the Word of God in such a way that the Holy Spirit will cause those believers to come to faith just by hearing the Word. Remember, people really had a trouble when Saul was converted to become Paul. Yet they began to listen to him, came to faith, and Paul became an apostle to the Gentiles. One office that probably nobody ever thought that he would be given. But that was God's decision to take this sinful Samaritan woman, this sinful Saul, and bring them into his kingdom of God on earth to teach the word of God.
When Jesus uses the analogy of the harvest, what's he talking about?
He's talking about that the fields are white for harvest, and therefore the one who reaps is already receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life. So that sower, that's the one who plants the seed, and reaper end up rejoicing together. In fact, when we were in Southern Illinois for 4 years at a congregation, we got to learn a lot about farmers. And they began to earn funds and money when they sowed, because there were those who wanted to buy what they would be reaping from them. So both sower and reaper were receiving funds. And Jesus uses that analogy to indicate that not all the disciples were sowing, namely planting, but they were all reaping. And so with the sowers, they were receiving eternal life. And that's what Jesus says in that particular metaphor.
How were the Sunday school children brought to faith?
The Sunday school children should be taught that they were brought to faith in the same way that the Samaritan woman was. She heard the Word of God, and particularly for many of the children that occurred in their baptism. I baptize you into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They may not have understood what was going on, but that was the way in which the blessings from the cross were transferred to human beings by the sacrament of baptism, later on, the sacrament of the Holy Supper, and of course, in the sermons, by hearing the Word of God. That's how salvation comes about.
Finally, what's the long gospel of this lesson?
The law is that it accuses us of not being, well, shall we say, filled with liquid. So we are parched and dying. The gospel is that the Holy Spirit gives me the living water from God's word and holy baptism, and that quenches my spiritual thirst forever. So I end up living eternally in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts the radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Terry Mattingly joins us next. We're going to talk about media coverage of an order by a federal judge for the FBI to hand over a trans school shooter's manifesto, and how the anniversary today of that shooting in Nashville is being covered in general. What can we learn from Old Testament prophet Samuel on how to endure through tumultuous times? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change. This book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Unfailing at issuesetc.org. Unfailing, God's Assurance for Times of Change, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March.
Christians face a culture that is hostile to Christianity. How does the gospel shape our understanding of what it is to be human, of marriage and family, of Christian vocation, of how we confess Christ? Christ and Culture, Catechesis on the Apostles' Creed is the theme for this year's symposium of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, June 19th through the 21st, at Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. Register today at peacesussex.org/CCA.
John the Apostle loved the Lord Jesus, so we here at St. John's Lutheran invite you to join us and also become his disciples. Located in Northern Virginia on Franconia Road between the nation's capital Beltway and Kingstown, come and gather with us for adult and children's education and divine worship on Sunday morning. Visit our website at www.sjlc.com or call 703-971-2210 for details.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Who made God? This is Ken Ham, editor of the popular series, The Answers Books for Kids. I once had a little boy ask me, who made God? Well, if someone made God, it would have to be a bigger God. So who made the bigger God? Well, a bigger, bigger God. And who made the bigger, bigger God? Well, a bigger, bigger, bigger God. Eventually, you'd run out of bigger gods and end up with the biggest God of them all. Well, the God of the Bible is the biggest God. He's the only God. He wasn't created. The Bible says he's always existed. Now, that's hard for us to fathom because we're created and finite. But God is infinite, and he's very different from us. So who made God? No one. He's the eternal God with no beginning and no end.
Find answers to your kids' questions when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com and listen to this program again or view a transcript at AnswersRadio.com.